This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. West Virginia has the highest number of youth overdose deaths in the nation, according to a new national report. Kara Lofton has more.
The new study from Trust for America's Health found that nationwide, youth drug overdose deaths have more than doubled among people aged 12 to 25. In a third of states, among them West Virginia, rates have tripled or quadrupled. The increase in deaths is most pronounced among young adults, defined as ages 19 to 25. West Virginia's rates are almost double the national average. Jeffrey Levi is executive director for the Trust for America's Health and one of the study's authors.
The rates in West Virginia are probably higher because there is a higher level of prescribing, greater use of opioids for pain control.
Opioids include the painkillers oxycodone, methadone, and hydrocodone. In 2013, prescription painkillers were responsible for more than half of all drug overdose-related deaths, according to the report.
Unfortunately, a lot of the overdose deaths are not just from the use of the pills, but also as people become addicted and as the pills become too expensive, people transition to heroin. And the heroin that's available in this country now in this stage of our heroin epidemic is purer, more concentrated, and therefore potentially more dangerous.
Levi said combating youth overdose death begins with prevention rather than intervention. More than 90% of adults with substance abuse disorders began abusing before the age of 18.
We looked at 10 policies that are really important to have in place.
Which include things like, does the state have at least an 80% high school graduation rate? Are there bullying prevention laws in place? Are there laws that prohibit smoking in public places? The policies were gathered into a substance misuse prevention report card, and each state received a grade. West Virginia's grade was 40%.
Now, the major emphasis of this study is really that there are things that we can do that will prevent kids from misusing these drugs in the first place. And that's so critically important for us to address as a country.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Kara Lofton in Charleston.
Turkey and travel. Those are two of the major themes of most Americans' Thanksgivings. They are also two of the major players when it comes to calculating the carbon footprint of a typical Thanksgiving experience. The Allegheny Front's Lou Bluen has more.
Turns out the guy who may know the most about the carbon footprint of an American Thanksgiving hasn't ever experienced one himself.
I haven't actually, although it doesn't look all that dissimilar from our Christmas dinner in the UK.
This is Mike Berners-Lee, and he's considered one of the world's leading experts on the carbon footprint of, well, everything. In fact, he wrote a book subtitled The Carbon Footprint of Everything. So earlier this week, I phoned him at his office in the UK to talk a little turkey.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, turkeys are meat. And most of the time, the thing to say about meats is that they're quite an inefficient way of having nutrition. But having said that, chicken and turkeys are very much at the efficient end of the meat spectrum.
That's because a Thanksgiving turkey can go from an egg to a bird that's 20 pounds or more in just 14 weeks. So they're not really on the planet long enough to make that big an impact. And it turns out it doesn't even matter all that much if you go with a local bird, which only has to ship from the farmer down the road.
Well, it matters a bit, but it would still be fairly small compared to the actual footprint of growing the animal in the first place.
In fact, Berners-Lee says transportation might only account for about 25% of the turkey's total carbon footprint, assuming it's not shipping by air. But bottom line, having a turkey on your Thanksgiving table is not all that bad. And the same goes for corn, potatoes, cranberries, pumpkins, and a lot of the other foods that end up on your plate.
So they're seasonal vegetables, and they keep well. And you don't have to do anything crazy like put them on an aeroplane. So they're fantastic. In fact, you probably can't have lower carbon footprint food than potatoes and pumpkins.
So all in all, the Thanksgiving dinner looks pretty good from a carbon footprint standpoint. That is, if you go traditional.
Yeah, so okay, well, this year's a little bit different. A little bit of a curveball. But there is no turkey.
This is WESA reporter Margaret Krause. She agreed to let us dissect the carbon footprint of her Thanksgiving plans, which are still kind of coming together.
There is a meat that will be grilled outside. Maybe we're doing bratwurst. Maybe we're doing chicken. Maybe we're doing steak.
Whatever she decides to cook, it sounds like it's going to be a bit of a fire drill. The plan is to get on a plane and on Wednesday night hit the supermarket to pick up some supplies when she lands.
So check this. I'm getting on a bus that will take me to the airport that will take me to Minneapolis, that will take me to Salt Lake City, and then driving from Salt Lake City to Provo, Utah.
So all in all, a pretty big trip. And that, along with the alternative menu, could get Margaret into some trouble, according to Mike Berners-Lee.
Well, yeah, red meats are quite a lot less efficient. The carbon footprint of beef would be about 24 kilos of carbon dioxide equivalent per kilo of beef, whereas for turkey, it'd be nearer 3.
And the air travel is a real killer.
So a Boeing 747 will get through, I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but it's 100 and something tons of fuel per trip. So you end up with an enormous carbon footprint shared out between the passengers, and your friend has to take a few tons of it on the chin.
Even worse, Berners-Lee says the fact that the fuel is burning higher up in the atmosphere doubles the climate impacts. So drive if you can, better yet, take a train. But how does the carbon footprint of Thanksgiving travel stack up against the Thanksgiving meal? Well, Berners-Lee did a quick calculation on my 500-mile trip back to Michigan by car.
So you're getting through about 50 liters of gas. So that would be the same carbon footprint as turning up and finding your way through 50 kilos of turkey, which would be quite an achievement.
Yeah, no way that's happening, even with leftovers. And at my house, my mom has a pretty energy-efficient way for storing those. When the fridge fills up, as long as the Michigan fall weather is cooperating, she puts the turkey in her car to keep it cold. Pretty sure that method is keeping the planet safe from harm. Not sure I can say the same for us. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Lou Bluin.
The Allegheny Front is produced in Pittsburgh and reports on the environment. More at AlleghenyFront.org. To celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday, we're reaching into one of our favorite mountain stage broadcasts of this decade, a 2011 show. Here's a band called Dawes performing this week's mountain stage song of the week, A Little Bit of Everything.
With his back against the San Francisco traffic, on the bridge's side that faces towards the jail, setting out to join a demographic, he hoists his first leg up over the rail. Then a phone call's made, police cars show up quickly, and the sergeant slams his passenger door. He says, hey son, why don't you talk through this with me? Just tell me what you're doing it for. Oh, it's a little bit of everything. It's the mountains, it's the fog. It's the news at 6 o'clock. It's the death of my first dog. It's the angels up above me. It's the song that they don't sing. It's a little bit of everything. There's an older man who stands in a buffet line. He is smiling and he's holding out his plate. And the further that he looks back into his timeline, that hard road led him to today, making up for when his bright future had left him, making up for the fact his only son is gone, and letting everything out once his server asks him, sir, have you figured out yet what it is you want? I'll take a little bit of everything, the biscuits and the beans, whatever helps me to forget about these things that brought me to my knees. So pile on those mashed potatoes and an extra chicken wing, 'cause I'm having a little bit of everything.
Again, that was A Little Bit of Everything, performed by Dawes. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our director is Chuck Ancelevich. I'm Ashton Mara.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the WVU Medicine Children's Clinic and Hospital, serving the healthcare needs of all West Virginia's children, online at wvukids.com.